Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics. In this weekly show, the Husker Online team will give you the latest insight on Husker football, basketball, baseball, and of course, recruiting. Now, here's your host, Husker Online publisher, Sean Callahan.
Hello here, and welcome again to another edition of the Husker Online show. Sean Callahan, Robin Washit. Later, we'll be joined by Abby Barmore, and lots going on. It's been a busy week with the transfer portal, the deadline. Can I talk today, Robin? The May 1st, May 2nd deadline to get in the portal was really uneventful for Nebraska on their end. Damian Jackson was probably the big surprise. Then you had a wide receiver, and I'm already blanking on his name, Latrell Neville.
Neville, yes.
I was going to say David Neville. Remember the old offensive lineman?
I do remember David
Neville. Latrell Neville went in after 1 year, just kind of one of those guys that didn't see a role with Mickey Joseph. And then Chris Walker, who was already off the roster, went in. So not a lot of drama. But on the flip side, Nebraska has added two Power 5 defensive linemen this week that have as much or more experience than any defensive lineman on this roster. Obviously, the big one, O'Shawn Mathis from TCU. He's produced 30-plus quarterback pressures the last two seasons. Led the Big 12 in sacks in 2020, had four sacks a year ago, but still produced over 30 pressures, a lot of disruption plays. And then Devin Drew from Texas Tech, over 900 snaps in 2 years. He was a two-year starter at Texas Tech, Kansas City native, Iowa Western guy. He's the first Robin Iowa Western scholarship recruit at Nebraska. Now, he didn't come here straight from Iowa Western, but still played at Iowa Western, so that's notable. He's also the first Kansas City recruit at Nebraska since Bo Wilson in 2016. Wow. Then before that, Carlos and Khalil Davis in 2015. So a lot there, but they've made this football team better.
Yeah, and so, you know, I know this discussion was going around, especially after Drew's commitment, but, like, could you make the case that, I mean, obviously they're probably not done, right? You think they're going to add another D-line piece?
I think one more. It's got to be the right one.
Right.
Stephon Wynn from Alabama, I know is up there. That's a guy that I think they're going to try to get in. And that's an upgrade. I mean, you need rotational depth, period. Mm-hmm. End of question. You can't go in with, like, just 1.5 units. You need two full units of guys.
So let's assume that they go ahead and add one more quality defensive line piece. Could you make the case that the defensive line depth and just overall talent at that point would be better than what it was coming out of last season before all of the departures?
Arguably, because Damian Daniels was so inconsistent with his snap counts. Mm-hmm. You know, when he wanted to play, he was great, but they rarely got him over 30 snaps a game. Ben Stilley was solid. He was reliable. That's a loss. Jordan Riley never really materialized, but he would have played this year. He would have been a rotational guy. DeAndre Thomas, I still don't know why he walked away other than he was just done with it. Yeah. So you look at what they lost, but...
But what about Rodgers?
Rodgers, you know, he's an interesting one for me because I think we're going off of more potential mm-hmm. than film. You know, he only played, 150-some snaps a year ago, 250-some snaps in 2020. And that was that's the film you look at and said, like, wow, he was going to do that. He got hurt last year. So I don't know what he's going to provide. It's interesting, though, how valuable Rodgers has been in the portal. Because mm-hmm. if you're a proven D lineman in May that goes in the portal, you're a hot commodity. And I don't know if Casey Rodgers would have garnered this kind of attention in December and January, especially because he tore his ACL in the Iowa game on the final play of the game. But it just tells you there are certain windows where a guy like Rodgers to me is more valuable right now than maybe he would have been in the portal back in December.
Yeah, no question. And it's kind of been that way, like in basketball, for because they've had the two signing periods for a long time.
I mean, like
Baylor
Shireman, they're acting out like this is like Doug McDermott.
Yeah, it's like Larry Bird part two. But so they
we'll get on that later.
Yeah, we will. But so like it comes down to just people filling out their rosters, and everybody is looking for experienced defensive line depth at this point. I mean, if you can add another body, at least a quality proven power five level player, you know, there's going to be a lot of value to that. And I think that goes a long way into Casey Rogers seeing the interest that he has. Whereas like if he was, you know, going into the portal much earlier, you know, maybe even before spring, I agree. You just got to wonder kind of where his commodity value would be at that point compared to where it is now. But that's just kind of the nature of the game. And I think that also speaks to how impressive these two additions were, because, you know, we just said everybody's looking for D-line depth. Everybody's looking for an elite-level pass rusher and a big body in the middle that they can plug at defensive tackle. And Nebraska went and just got two of the better ones on the market.
Well, at O'Shawn Mathis, to give you an idea how suspenseful that was, Nebraska's coaches did not know he was committing Robin until 2 hours before Saturday. He called Brian Applewhite, but they were left in the dark. I think they had a good feel. I had a good feel, I know.
But you never know.
You never know. And, you know, it wasn't just Nebraska and Texas. TCU was making a late push. Georgia called it. I mean, like Georgia literally.
You listened to that phone call.
Like, I mean, George and O'Shawn told me on Husker Chat Live Sunday night, and you can listen to that full interview here on the Husker Online podcast channel or our YouTube channel. O'Shawn said, he's like, it's like, look, man, I'm this far down the road. I'm not going to like reboot the whole process.
Right.
He will be in Lincoln May 20th.
That's quick.
So he'll be here in a couple of weeks. Workouts start May 22nd. Now, Devin Drew is going to be in Kansas City until early July. He's going to take two online classes to get the degree, and then he'll come up as a graduate student. I don't know if he's going to be enrolled in a graduate program because – you know, technically, he's just using his one-time transfer rule, so he doesn't have to necessarily be in a graduate program, what his plan will be. But both these guys will be here. One will be here before Memorial Day. One will be here before 4th of July, and that's big.
There's no concern about Drew with that academic stuff? I mean, like, is it?
No. Okay. It's because he wants his degree.
Gotcha.
It's not gotcha. To be eligible. It's really, really easy to transfer as long as you're in academic good standing, and you know, we dealt with that this year.
Exactly.
DeAndre Jackson, who you know, showed up and they found out he was in bad academic standing, and basically they had to tell him, instead of moving to Lincoln on Monday, they sent him back to College Station.
So yeah, I mean, so again, I think that this continues what has been a pretty positive offseason for Nebraska, just considering, you know, where things were a few short months ago. You know, now you're kind of looking at this team a little bit differently.
10 transfer portal additions.
With the way they've reshaped this roster through the portal, the way that they've been able to get some impact hires on their coaching staff, guys that have already shown their quality chops on the recruiting front and have said all the right things during spring ball. So, you know, I think that there's reason to kind of look at maybe this coming season a little differently, certainly, than you did a couple months ago.
It sounds more like, Scott, don't call me Mel Tucker Frost. With all these additions, you know, I mean, Michigan State did this a year ago.
And like 20-some guys.
And they questioned about 10 transfer portal players. You can really make a case, Robin, that six of them could be starters. Yeah. Six of them.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what this is all about. This is the new era of recruiting where, you know, the idea of developing a guy over 3-4 years and he's ready to play as a junior, that's dead, essentially, because you can just go plug and play a transfer right now, especially if you're in Nebraska that, you know, has some inherent recruiting disadvantages. Well, go on the transfer market where you eliminate all of those disadvantages and can go get top-level players that are looking for kind of that one last chance that Nebraska's done so well with so far.
In other news, I wanted to just hit on this briefly. I don't really think much of it in terms of a big story, but Scott Frost, the NCAA, finalized their investigation on Analyst Gate, the 2020 deal with Jonathan Rutledge, you know, with him doing more than he should have been able to do as far as coaching and instruction. They got a show cause, Scott Frost did, until he completes the penalty. He's got to miss 5 days from August to December. And initially, I thought it could be any 5 days. It has to be 5 consecutive days. So it will be a bye week. And the beauty is there's 2 bye weeks this year. And he'll sit out and just not be able to go to the office for 5 days.
Could it also be during that you know, post Iowa, pre Big Ten championship week?
I don't know how that works. I mean, if you go, if you qualify for a bowl game, you'd still would be in the championship. I don't the language of it. You know, Nebraska didn't put anything out. All I got was one statement from Trev.
Like Trev had the statement. That's he didn't really touch on many of the details.
But there, this would have been a good time to have like an FAQ of like, this is what this means. This is what this means. You know, because there were a lot of things that, you know, you don't really know truly unless you get clarification. But the other thing, he's got to go to a rules seminar. But I mean, can you imagine? And it, I think you got to go in person.
It's like the stop class of NCAA
like,
violations.
That would be brutal. Like a guy making $4 or $5 million a year having to attend a rules seminar.
You got to watch like a VHS tape or something when they roll out the TV.
I actually want to ask him about that off to the side and just say, how was the rules seminar? I mean, because I wonder how long it is.
Oh, man. Yeah, that sounds pretty miserable. And what's so now the question is, didn't Michigan get like flagged for the exact same thing? Do you think anything will come of that with Michigan? Or is Nebraska just going to be the sacrificial lamb of
the
conference?
So this happens a lot, and somebody turned Nebraska in. And I think in some ways it's Nebraska's own fault because they didn't have a special teams coach in 2020, and Scott Frost never really clarified because of COVID and media access. You know, he could have said, hey, all of my staff is going to have a role on special teams. This guy's going to do this. This guy's going to do that. Jonathan Rutledge will be behind the scenes. But I think the narrative got painted that he was doing more. Mm-hmm. And he did, as we learned. But this happens. I mean, come on. Do you really think Nick Saban's analysts don't instruct?
Yeah, these programs with like 15 analysts. Like, oh, I'm sure they do nothing on the field. Like, it's all by the book with that.
But yeah, NCAA, you know, that this is a big deal on their radar.
They still have to act like they can do something about anything at this point with the current landscape.
So Scott Frost essentially got after-school detention. He'll have to clean the chalkboards and take out the trash.
Yep.
And then he'll be good. But when we come back, Robin, I want to talk draft briefly, just your thoughts on Nebraska, the Big Ten, how the SEC and the Big Ten just dominated the numbers. Obviously, the SEC was the best, but Big Ten had a really good draft, too. And after that, it was quite a drop-off from the next league. So we'll talk draft next. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
Hi, it's Sean Callahan with Husker Online. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right. A company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones and see what we find. Learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
You're listening to HuskerOnline.com, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Robin Washett. This segment brought to you by the 2022 Aer Lingus College Football Classic in Dublin, Ireland, as Nebraska will take on Northwestern. It's a week zero game. It opens the college football season. Nebraska just had a group of people out there. The game's Saturday, August 27th. The team will leave Monday of that week to go out there. It will be an entire week. So it really is, Robin, a bowl trip on steroids as you get this trip ready. But if you still want to go, and I know a lot of people traveling. I just was on a plane last week, no masks. It's a whole different experience now traveling in the airports than it was before, you know, with all the things that we've dealt with the last 2 years. You can still get this trip booked. Go to Huskers2Ireland.com. You can get on, look at the different packages being offered. They have some airfare options. You can book your own airfare. If you're a guy that has points and miles and you want to use them up because you haven't been able to use them the last couple of years, you can still book your own and still get on the package, which includes hotel, transportation, baggage transfers, game tickets. And it's going to make the trip really easy. You can customize your trip, one city, two city, three city. No matter how you want to do it, you can be there for 3 days. You can be there for 8 days. There's a lot of different options for this trip. That's Huskers2Ireland.com. But Robin, let's talk draft. Nebraska had three guys drafted, and I think that was kind of the low water mark. It was disappointing to me they didn't get four or five. Mm-hmm. I mean, JoJo Doman, Austin Allen, I really thought at least one of those guys. I
JoJo was a no-brainer.
I thought five was like the high water mark, and four was a fairly good chance. So I haven't talked to JoJo or Craig about the draft, and obviously we had the show with him this last year. because I know it had to be tough, but he's going to go to the Colts. I don't know what the role is, but for JoJo, you've got to be able to now crack into special teams and have value there. And when I look at like Austin Allen, Robin, that might be what hurts a guy like him.
Absolutely.
What's his special teams value in the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you go back to like Jordan Westerkamp, the reason he never could make it in the NFL, he had zero special teams value. He's not a return guy at that level, and he's not a tackler. Where Brandon Riley and Alonzo Moore, they got in because they were elite athletes that could tackle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, it goes back to what Bill Bush and Mickey Joseph have been preaching since the day they've got here. You know, Mickey was very proud of the fact that, I mean, he had guys that are Pro Bowlers in the NFL right now playing special teams at LSU. And he, one of the first meetings they had with his group, was showing clips of his LSU like kickoff team. And there's like Justin Jefferson and, you know, all those guys running down the field, you know, tackling guys during a kickoff drill. So that is a huge part of being able to actually stick on a roster. And I can understand why JoJo fell out of the draft just because of his age. He's
25 years old in this season.
He's got an injury history, you know, two major knee injuries, had the hand deal. So, I mean, he had that working against him. So, I guess it wasn't a total shock, but if you just watch him play.
Ohio State game.
The talent is not an issue with him. He is good enough to play in the NFL, and he's a versatile enough athlete that he will find a role on special teams. I have very little doubt about it. And with how smart he and his camp are, I guarantee you they picked the Colts for a reason, because the Colts probably have a lot of mutual interest in him, and they're going to find ways to get him on the field. So I think that's a good spot. With Austin Allen, the special teams thing is going to hurt him. I know he had a shoulder injury that prevented him from doing the bench at the combine. He didn't do well at all on his bench at Nebraska's pro day. So that's a big reason why he fell. The good thing with the Giants, they have like one tight end. Seriously, like Ricky Seals-Jones, who is a free agent.
So they're looking for cheap options.
Yeah, they drafted one in the third round. But anyway, there's numbers there.
They carry four or three.
To be had, at least three, depending on the team. You can go more than that. But they have an opportunity for him to make his mark as a receiver. It's just a matter of, can he do enough in those other elements to make him a more valuable commodity?
Damian Daniels, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't see him on an active roster, but I really think a practice squad, he could go a long way.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that, you know, his brother kind of showed him the ropes, like he knows what it takes to go that route and succeed at that level. And the flashes that he showed last year, I mean, he's got NFL talent, and his conditioning has gotten a lot better. He dropped a bunch of weight. I think this was the lightest he'd weighed since like his sophomore year of high school. So, I mean, he's in the best shape maybe of his life right now, and that'll go a long way in helping him stay on the field and not just being this limited package type player.
Kyren Williams, that's one that really intrigues me, because I do think he's got special teams value, and he's got some dog in him, some fight.
Deontay.
I said Kyren.
Kyren is in the USFL right now.
Deontay Williams. I'm sorry about that. But I think he has got a shot to get, I hope, on a practice squad. I mean, he has given so much to Nebraska. Markell's Dismuke did not get signed that I know of. I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything.
But his 4.75 and 31-inch vertical didn't really help him at pro day. Ben Stille, Dolphins. He's another guy that to me is intriguing. You know, some people have even said that he could play offensive line. I don't know. I mean, I think he's a D lineman though. We'll see kind of where he fits.
Too. Yeah, I mean, that transition's awfully difficult in the NFL, especially if you've never played offensive line. But we haven't even talked about our boy Cam Jurgens. I mean, the highest offensive player selected since when? What was it, 2000?
Well, was Randy Gregory and Amir Abdullah drafted?
He was ahead of them, wasn't he?
Were those guys drafted in like the 30s or the 40s?
I can't remember. I wrote the story. Anyway, but certainly the first offensive lineman Nebraska's selected since Richie, or the first Nebraska offensive lineman highest selected since Richie Incognito in 2005. You know, as a Giants fan, I wish that he would have gone to literally anyone else, but great for him. I think that's a perfect opportunity. And just listening to the way the Eagles talked about him, I mean, they see him as the second coming of Jason Kelce, who has been their perennial Pro Bowl center. And the reason he's been so good is because of his athleticism and the ability to pull and block in space. And that is Cam Jurgens' game to a T. So a perfect fit for him. And, you know, we'd kind of been hearing rumblings that he had a chance to really vault up the draft board, and that clearly played out.
Yeah, highest draft pick, Robinson's Prince Mokamara in 2011. He was a first rounder. You had Amir Abdullah. He was drafted 54. Randy Gregory was drafted 60. Stanley Jean-Baptiste was 58. Levante David was 58. You look at those numbers, and Cam Jurgens was drafted.
Who was the last offensive player?
51. So, yeah, you got to really go back on offensive players a long ways here. It would be – I'm looking through the picks here, Rob, and there's not very many.
Yeah, and so
Tony Fanotti.
Yeah, that's it.
2002.
Yeah, so
he was number
20 30. Highest draft pick, offensive Nebraska draft pick in 20 years.
And another reason why Nebraska is
again, you could point to a few things as to why Nebraska football has struggled. That is a right at the top for. Issues, the lack of NFL-level development that has gone on in this program.
And Cam Taylor-Britt, we didn't get to him. I mean, he really landed as high as he could have gone, in my opinion. You know, I think there were some skeptics, you know, where's this guy fall? But there are plays last year, like that Minnesota pick. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was sitting next to you, and I'm like, wait, he got that ball? Like, yeah. I mean, you could see the Michigan game, he played lights out. I mean, he really... When the lights were on and the big games, he played well.
And once he stopped trying to win the Heisman on every play, he actually turned out to be really good. Like, his second half of last season was phenomenal, and he really struggled the first half. And he'll be the first one to tell you that he put too much on himself. He thought that this was going to be a showcase season where, you know, he cements himself as a first-round draft pick, and he was making costly plays by taking too many chances and trying to do too much. So once he settled down, he became the player everyone thought he was going to be. And I thought it was so cool watching that video with Zach Taylor's calling him, you know, and telling him that he's going to get drafted. And then the other Bengals front office guys, well, you got your Husker. So, you know, it's cool to see that.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about here still when we come back.
Oh, and Samari Torrey to the Packers.
And Samari Torrey. And by the way, Matt Reynoldson, our old intern, now a TV sportscaster in Green Bay, he called that. He went on our board and said Samari Torrey came up here for a top 30 visit. I would not be surprised if the Packers took him in the back end of the draft.
So. I was watching some post-draft analysis on NFL Network, and they pointed to Samari Torrey as a guy that could be an impact player. Like, they think that he fits exactly with that Packer offense.
With Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he wants speed guys like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's better than some of the guys that have put up good numbers in that Packer offense. I'll say that.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about NIL and where it's heading. The NCAA, the ADs, they're all in Scottsdale this week for this big summit to talk about the future, and they're not happy about where it's at right now. We'll discuss that and more. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
This is HuskerOnline.com, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Robin Washed. As I said, we're going to talk some NIL, Robin. And I think we knew it was going to get wild in the last year. It's gotten so much more wild, though, I think, than anybody ever could have projected. I mean, you think about what we've just seen in the last month with agents getting involved and obviously collectives and the evolution of that in college football. But it's wild, and the ADs and the schools and college football have raised the white flag. The problem is nobody really knows how it can be stopped because there are state laws in place. The NCAA gambled, and they got beat on this. Mm-hmm. And you know they could have at the beginning knew that this was going to happen, and they were given an olive branch to kind of like build this thing up. Mark Emmert and his people said, no, it's not going to happen. What happened? And then now we're at where we're at. Mark Emmert resigned last week or stepped down, and he still had a contract that ran through 2025. So it's a mess. And when the president of the NCAA steps down abruptly, it tells you kind of where things are at with the state of NCAA athletics.
Yeah, I mean, it's Pandora's box has been opened just like everybody thought it would, and there's no going back now. And I know they're trying to go back and have like schools meet with boosters and all this sort of thing to try to get this thing under control. But what are you going to do? I mean, there's already legal precedent set that this is okay, and you're going to all of a sudden try to take that to court?
The Supreme Court's already ruled.
There's zero ground on that. So, I mean, I just don't know what, even if they wanted to do something, what the NCAA and schools could even do at this point, just because they let it get so far out of control. And, you know, you pair that with, you know, the comments made by the Notre Dame athletic director, where he said, you know, by the 2030s, I predict that the major college athletics players will, the schools will no longer be part of the NCAA. They'll be their own entity, and it'll be a private league of sorts, to where it's a professional model and guys are going to get salaries, and it's not going to be under this guise of a student athlete amateurism. Like, it'll be handled as a full-blown professional league. And right now, I just think that there's nothing stopping it from getting there.
And, you know, it's gotten to the point now where you have players, Robin, that are maybe making more than assistant coaches. You have players that are going to be making than group of five head coaches.
There are. I mean, that's fact. I mean, there's...
Now, Power Five head coaches, different deal. But you talk about assistant coaches, group of five assistants and heads. Players are going to be making more than these guys.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so, for instance, Nebraska basketball's highest paid assistant is right around, what, $300,000-some?
And you gotta guess.
Nigel Peck, the transfer from Kansas, is making $400,000 a year at Miami for 2 years. So, yes, they are making more than assistant coaches.
And what is really hard to determine on these deals is, what are they doing to get the things? A lot of it is autographs, appearances, things like that. And they're getting paid way over market value, but you determine market value.
Absolutely.
Like, that's where the NCAA is in a lot of trouble. Like, who determines market value?
Yeah, there's never been a market like this.
And the market.
You can set it as whatever you want.
I just don't know how they slow this down because of what happened already a year ago with the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. And I give Nebraska credit. They got at least the collective and the things here with Blake Lawrence, Open Doors. They got ahead of this. And they really built an infrastructure that, at least for the time being, it's going to help them. And, you know, let's not kid ourselves. O'Shawn Mathis, Devin Drew, they came here for opportunity. But, you know, NIL, I think, and the opportunities they'll get once they get here, they knew it was better than what else was out there.
Well, and right now, like, especially with transfer portal players, a lot of times you're not dealing with the player. You're dealing with their agent. And you can bet money and perks and all sorts of things are being discussed when it comes to selling a school to a player, and that is a huge factor now in a lot of decisions that are being made. It's not just where can I get the best on-court or on-field opportunity, it's where can I also get all the off-the-court and financial opportunities as well. And so that is, it's full-blown free agency, and you have to make financial contract pitches to players to even be in the equation a lot of times with high-level recruits.
But technically, the school can't be involved.
Yeah, and so you go through the collectives. And so, I mean,
it's a mess, yeah. I mean, it's so hard to kind of, like, quantify when you look at just all these angles that we're talking about here and kind of what happens and where it goes. I think they're going to put together, you know, special committees, you know, blue ribbon committees to, like, analyze and study it. But in the meantime, it's not slowing down, Robin.
Yeah. And so you got to play the game. And that's where being out in front of this is going to be so critical. You know, I mean, if you want to play with the big dogs, you better have your money where your mouth is and being able to compete with hundreds of thousands of dollars to pay for players. I mean, that's just what is happening right now. And again, if you want to be able to get players that are going to make you competitive, that's the price tag now. And like I said, I don't think that's going to change anytime soon.
Well, and there are schools in the Big Ten, Robin, that don't even have collectives. Iowa, Wisconsin. I mean, and if they don't, they're maybe in the infancy stages of planning them out. Purdue. You know, it's really a unique deal when you, like, even just look at the Big Ten as far as where Nebraska sits, where Ohio State sits. Now, Michigan has not gotten into it either. Like, they've kind of stayed back on this as well. And it's going to be a really interesting case study. The people that got all in on it, like Nebraska, versus the ones that kept their same approach. And, you know, that is Wisconsin's approach and Iowa's approach. They're taking guys that want to be there for 4 or 5 years, local players, and developing them. Their model is not to bring in an O'Shawn Mathis.
And you just got to wonder, though, like, how sustainable is that now as more and more players grow up? I mean, it's still all new to a lot of people.
Once
right
somebody
now
says, hey, here's money.
Yeah, but when you have former teammates that you see go and make you know, $300,000 in a brand new car to go to a school, are you going to go, you know, take a normal scholarship and work hard for 3 years at Wisconsin to play? Or are you going to go to somebody that's going to give you the best deal available? I mean, the landscape is, it is what it is right now, but it's going to continue to evolve to where these newfound deals are going to become standard practice. And I firmly believe that if you don't keep up and play the game with the way that it's headed, you're going to be left in the dust. So all these schools that are sticking to their guns and playing the old school route, I wonder if that's going to come back to bite them and maybe change the competitive landscape of college football going forward.
Yeah, there's a lot, and we're going to be continuing to talk about this. I'm already prepared, Robin, for Big Ten Media Days in Indianapolis to literally be a state of the game deal. I mean, it's going
absolutely
to be a lot to deal with out in Indy as well. But when we come back, Abby Barmore will join us. We'll take her questions in the mailbag. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You're listening to HuskerOnline.com, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Robin Washett, taking you here through this first week of May. Very busy week here. A lot of news, a lot of questions. We had a great chat on Tuesday. Lots of questions to get to take us through some of those questions. We've got Abby Barmore, Husker Online. Abby, what do you have to lead us off in the mailbag?
Who are the top three transfers Nebraska has at the top of its list right now?
For next additions?
Yeah.
I think Stephon Wynn is up there for sure. And then Kane, the defensive back at Alabama. I mean, I think those are probably the two. We know Kane's visiting Nebraska here soon in May. I would hope and think Wynn could be coming in. But those are the two defined guys I know about for sure. You know, there's other guys like Lamar Goods. I think he's more of a plan B, and I don't know if they would necessarily take him at this point, especially with Devin Drew and O'Shawn Mathis. But they're going to be a little bit more selective. I think they're at 85 today, and I know a lot of people are worried about the numbers, but that will take care of itself. I still think, Robin, they could end up to adding maybe up to three more players.
So I know there was a question about secondary. Is that really a need at this point, given their issues on the offensive and defensive line? Obviously, they went a long way defense, but I know we've talked about potentially adding another O-line body. And then, you know, somebody was asking, is secondary really a priority transfer position? Do you think this is more about the player that's available, that he's too good to pass up?
Yeah, I think it's, some of it is that, and I think it's a spring. They know in the safety position, is, I think they have two good corners right now, Quentin Newsom and Tommy Hill, with Braxton Clark mm-hmm. rotating in. But in the secondary at safety, Marquise Buford, I think, is locked in. And Miles Farmer technically is locked in, but, you know, Miles is solid. I mean, is he an elite safety? No. I think he's a good player. And I think after that, you know, Gifford and Noah Pola-Gates, I don't know if they wowed anybody with their springs. I think they had okay springs. And then, you know, Singleton, they thought would be ready. I don't know if he's quite ready. Omar Brown, they don't know anything about this guy. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think if they could get another guy that they would feel really good about to be the third option, to have three quality safeties, that's why they would do this.
Yeah. And so, you know, you're talking about a former four-star Rivals 250 level player that, I think a player like that, if you can get him, it's going to make you better and also potentially compete for a starting job.
All right, what do you got next?
What former Husker would you compare O'Shawn Mathis to?
That's a really tough question because he's 6'5", 260, and there just hasn't been a lot of DNs like that with his, because Randy Gregory was not that big size-wise. Like,
he was just really long.
You compare it to Adam Carriker was bigger than that. Adam Carriker was like damn near 300
yeah,
pounds.
Yeah, no, he was 300 when
so
he played.
There hasn't been one recently that comes to mind that you know has put up the production that he's had.
Right, that's the thing. I mean, you can find people that have the same measurables, but when you
talk about production,
have that measurable and then that resume, it's pretty few and far between, which is, again, another issue Nebraska's had with their inability to find that true pass rusher.
Well, and you look at the numbers, O'Shawn is going to give you 3 to 4 kind of QB disruption plays a game. And that's big, because who could do that last year?
Nobody.
Garrett Nelson started to. I mean, think about the Ohio State game. He caused that fumble, and they almost won that game off that play if that offensive lineman doesn't scoop that fumble up. And they need that. That's how you win games. What do you got next?
Robin, who is going to be Nebraska's point guard next season, or who's in the running for that?
Sam Griesel. I think it's pretty clear. He is your top option at the point. McPherson is going to be in that conversation as well. And they have other guys that can bring the ball up. You know, Ramel Lloyd can bring the ball up. Jamarcus Lawrence can bring the ball up. You have other guard backcourt type players, and even, you know, Wilhelm Breidenbach could bring the ball up if needed. So that's kind of been the hallmark of Fred's system, is you're not necessarily needing or relying on one or two players to be your primary ball handlers. But when it comes down to it, the top option at point guard will be Sam, and that's pretty clear cut right now.
How nervous should Husker fans be about the offensive line?
With Devin, Drew, and O'Shawn now on, to me that is the concern, because I think there are some questions still with Teddy Prochaska coming back, with Turner Corcoran and how he fits, and honestly with Donovan Raiola. He's never been, you know, an outright position coach by himself like this. So that is the one to me now. Can they gel this unit together? I mean, we're counting on Brock Bando right now. We're counting on Trent Hickson today to be a center. And, you know, we don't really know the right tackle. It's going to be probably Turner Corcoran, but where's Ben Hart factor in? Could Kevin Williams pack? I mean, I think there's so many questions still, Robin.
Yeah, I mean, just the number of unknowns in that position group make it by far the biggest concern, especially after this past week, just because we don't have any answers. I mean, none of these answers will even be known or even close to being known until they get on into fall camp and we get to see how the health of those two tackles are, and maybe get a little bit of a better picture of, you know, are there any further additions being added through the transfer portal that might change the conversation a little bit. So I think just the lack of what we know about that group makes it probably concern number one in my book.
All right, Abby, what do you have left? We got time for a few more still.
Now that May 1st has passed, where does Nebraska stand with the ability to take more portal players versus the 85-player roster limit, and how are they going to free up more room for transfers?
Well, I think, you know, they're done with the May 1, May 2 guys. Technically, they could go May 2 because of the Sunday on May 1. So right now, any attrition that's going to happen is going to be medical, or it's going to be grad transfers or just guys being done. So I think you're going to see – I'm just guessing. I think you could see 3 more pieces move from now to August. And really, the rule is you've got to be at 85 players on scholarship in August.
So maybe the next benchmark to look at as far as the calendar goes would be the end of the semester, right? When guys finish up the semester, and if there are graduated players that decide to move on, maybe that's the point when you start
or
to see
summer.
Some movement or summer.
Yeah, because some guys might be able to get done in the summer. So, yeah, you look at the roster and – you know, people ask about, what about Marquis Stepp? What about Tyreek Johnson? Well, those guys have already used their one-time transfer rule. You can only transfer once unless you get a waiver. So there's a lot of things where you can't, you know, like if Marquis Stepp hasn't played, he's not going to probably play this year. He just can't leave now again because of the way the one-time transfer rule is written.
Yeah. So hopefully, you know, some of that will get figured out here in the next month or two, and we'll get a much better picture of what that 85 is going to look like.
All right, Abby, we got time for 2 more.
As of right now, with the transfers that Nebraska's added and the schedule for next year, how confident are you that Nebraska can get 6 wins next season?
Well, they should, but a lot of it, to me, is the first game. And there's so many unknowns playing even Pat Fitzgerald in a week 0. What wrinkles will he bring out? What will their team look like? Who will be their quarterback? I mean, there's a lot of things about Northwestern we don't know yet, and playing this game in Ireland on top of that. So if they can win in Ireland, this season to me takes off. I really believe that. And I said the same thing last year. Yep. If they could have just beaten Illinois, because what happens when they lost the Illinois game, they beat Buffalo and then they beat
nobody cared.
Who was the other game?
Fordham.
And it was like people were still upset about the first game. You cannot lose in Dublin, because if you lose in Dublin, you play North Dakota, you play Georgia Southern, no one's going to be enthused about those wins.
No. It's the exact same situation as last year.
And then you have Oklahoma. So, man, if they can win in Ireland and then take care of business at home. Then you have Oklahoma coming to Lincoln. Yeah.
Then you're 3-0.
That's going to be as big of a home game in a long time.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you basically take our conversations we were having at this point last year, talking about the importance of Illinois, and just transfer it to the importance of Northwestern, because that will be the week zero tone setter that really sets the narrative for the rest of the season. And like you said, you win that, all of a sudden you have a chance to really pick up some momentum with the way that first half of that schedule shakes out. And then, you know, that when you have momentum, that changes how maybe you view the back half of that schedule that right now looks pretty difficult.
Little known fact, Scott Frost has never won three games in a row at Nebraska.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they won three games the whole season last year, but they've never won three in a row under Scott Frost. Man. So, baby steps.
What a time.
All right, final question.
If you were a student athlete when you were in college, what NIL deal would have wanted?
Man, I mean, these
so
guys.
So we're keeping this to like local NIL deals, not like I want to be whatever, like a Mercedes guy or something like that.
I would like, obviously, I think housing would be big. Mm-hmm. Like if you could get a free, furnished, luxurious 2-bedroom type apartment.
Yeah, like some suite.
Like a place.
Downtown penthouse.
You know, like that's a huge perk. If you were given like a NIL deal for housing that included furniture and it was like, say, 2 bedrooms, so then your family could stay there for games. I mean, that would be a big one to me, because that saves you and your family thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. Thousands. And then a car. I mean, car deals would be big. Then the appearances. I mean, that's where these guys, I think, are making a lot of money, doing camps and appearances.
Yeah, the camps are big. But as far as just like a deal, I'd probably the housing one would be big. But, you know, you see some of the rides these guys are getting, like the Ohio State kid, the freshman defensive end, I can't remember his name, he signed that dealership NIL deal and got just like this tricked out pickup. It was just probably like $100,000 pickup right out of the gate, and you can imagine driving that as a freshman in college. That would be quite the perk.
All right, Abby, well, that wraps it up here for the mailbag. When we come back, we're going to talk some basketball with Robin. It's been interesting with the transfer portal and kind of what Nebraska is doing. They made a run at Baylor Shireman. They missed out. We'll get Robin's thoughts on that and more. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is HuskerOnline.com, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
Final segment here of the Husker Online Show. Before we get into that with basketball talk with Robin Washett, just one bit of breaking news that happened during show taping, Robin. Casey Rogers to Oregon.
Surprised?
No, I called it from the get-go. Man. Okay.
Tuioti doing work.
Tuioti has signed 2 former Nebraska defensive linemen to Oregon. And somebody on our side joked, that's more than he signed all his whole time at Nebraska as a recruiter. Because Jordan Riley was a JUCO recruit that came up. And then obviously Mike Dawson is who signed Casey to Nebraska out of high school. But yeah, too, there won't be any Christmas cards exchanged by Mike Dawson and Scott Frost and Tony Tuioti is my guess.
No. And, you know, again, it was one of those deals where, like, when he entered the portal, it was like, well, is he going to go to Oregon? And so it took us some other stops with USC, Arkansas. But in the end, he went where everybody thought. And, you know, we'll see how it works out for him. But.
Well, and it tells you Oregon had a coaching change. Mario Cristobal went to Miami. They've probably I don't know. I'm not up in the Northwest, but I bet they had a ton of attrition where they were pretty decimated on that line. And you know, Casey Rogers will do well in the Pac-12.
Yeah, I mean, he'll be probably one of their most physical guys up there when you think about it. I mean, he was set to play in the Big Ten, so I mean, he's clearly good enough to be an impact player, and maybe that was a big part of it. He wanted to be the bona fide number one tackle that was going to, you know, get a ton of reps and be able to showcase himself for the next level. So we'll see.
And there is a difference. I mean, the Big Ten linemen, SEC linemen, compared to the rest. I mean, when Nebraska played at Oklahoma, Robin, I talked to a couple guys I've known from OU for a lot of years, and they're like, man, the line of scrimmage difference. I mean, Nebraska was really having their way up front, you know, just chopping guys down with their size. And I'll be interested to see where he goes. But congrats to Casey Rogers and best of luck as he moves on to Oregon. Robin, let's talk transfer portal and Nebraska basketball now. Baylor Shireman, I called him Bailey for a second there. Baylor Shireman, Aurora native, former teammate at one point of Austin Allen's, I believe. They might
He was his quarterback.
And by the way, Baylor Shireman was a hell of a quarterback. Like, he could have been a D1 quarterback. I'm not joking. Like, he was that good. But signed with South Dakota State, had a great career there. He will be a Creighton Blue Jay. But Nebraska made the finals. Was there really even a shot, in your opinion?
Briefly. I think Creighton, when it, you know, the real blue bloods, I mean, Duke was in his final five. I don't know how realistic that ultimately ended up being. But, you know, when the Kentuckys and the Kansases started getting removed from his list, you look out the sense that he was looking probably to stay in state when it came down to it. I know Arkansas made a late push for him and was really aggressive at the end there to get in the mix. But really what it came down to was, you know, was he going to stay in state and go to Creighton or go back home and play for Nebraska? And Nebraska did a really good job in selling all that they were able to sell with just the role Baylor would have coming in, being the guy, the number one scoring option that would be able to fully showcase all of his game, which is a big piece for him coming back to school. He wants to prove that he's not just the Midwestern three-point shooter that kind of gets labeled with guys like that. He wants to show he's an all-around player. He would have had every opportunity to do that in the Big Ten as the number one option at Nebraska in a NBA style of offense. So there was a lot to like there. Obviously, the proximity location was a big draw, and Nebraska was being competitive with their NIL. But what it came down to was Creighton offered all of that as well, and they offered it a much better team, one that is probably now being considered a potential Final Four contender that has a chance to make a deep run in March. And a lot of times with a player like that, that's where you make your brand at the next level, is by having success on the biggest stage in college basketball and having your biggest games come in March. And right now, Nebraska can't sell that. And until they prove that they're even remotely close to being a tournament contender, that will be a massive hurdle for them in every type of these types of situations. It wasn't just Baylor Shireman. Same thing with Antonio Reeves. It came down to Kentucky and Nebraska. Nebraska offered everything Antonio Reeves wanted, except for winning. And so Antonio went to Kentucky, where they're going to play in the NCAA tournament. And, you know, again, that's a major hurdle that is keeping Nebraska from really getting in with top-level players right now.
Yeah, and the way Nebraska schedules early on, it just feels like they get in a hole every year under Hoiberg and they just don't get out of it.
Yeah, well, you lose these bye games to open the year. That's going to put yourself at a disservice. But, you know, and it's just kind of the reality of what they've been. You know, I mean, you say it a lot with football where you get some early momentum, then suddenly maybe you can get on a roll. It's been a long time since Nebraska basketball has gotten off to early momentum. And, you know, it hasn't happened under Hoiberg at all. So until they can have some sustained success and kind of create a winning culture in that locker room, you know, that's going to be the thing that not only is hard to sell to recruits, but will be used against them when it comes down to these types of recruiting battles. Do you want to go play at Nebraska where, you know, you're hoping to be 500, or do you want to come to our school where we're a bona fide tournament team that potentially compete for a championship with you on board?
Yeah, it will be interesting to see. I just, the Nebraskan in me, the advocate of in-state athletics here, the thought of Shireman and Griesel coming back in, that would have been special in PBA. I mean, it's a pipe dream. You know, I'm a dreamer to even think of that, but it would have been awesome. Like, just the reception those two guys would have got coming back home together. Now, Griesel's going to get a great reception regardless, but yes. Just two guys like that coming back
that was part of it for Baylor too. I mean, again, like, he grew up watching Nebraska basketball. Now, he was more of a Kansas basketball fan just because they were winning. But I mean, you know, he was less than an hour away from Lincoln and he watched all the games. And when I asked him about the Hoiberg era, he was very specific. So he was still watching them even when he was at South Dakota State. So there was a relationship there between Baylor and Nebraska. But ultimately, you know, this was his one chance and he wanted to use it at a program that was in a much better situation as far as being competitive on a national stage.
And I'll never forget Dave Hoppen once said this, Robin, because these local players that don't come to play for Nebraska, they don't understand how special it would be to be a local guy that brings Nebraska basketball back.
Yeah, no question.
And it just hasn't happened. It's sad, but that's where it's at. And, you know, Creighton's got a great program. Greg McDermott's one of the, I think, one of the top 10 coaches in college basketball. And, you know, you cannot knock this kid for his decision. He's going to play in front of 17,000 fans every night.
Maybe not every night, but most nights.
announced attendance.
But yeah, again, it's one of those deals where, like, from a basketball standpoint, it's a no-brainer decision for him. Outside of maybe, you know, there's a lot more mouths to feed on that Creighton lineup, whereas Nebraska, he would have been the guy. But again, with more mouths to feed means more likely more wins on the schedule.
All right. Well, make sure you're on HuskerOnline.com. We'll have full coverage of Nebraska baseball this weekend. Robin will have more in basketball. We will have, obviously, anything that breaks transfer portal-wise, recruiting-wise as well. No visitors scheduled for this weekend, but make sure you check us out. Also, check out our podcast page. We're on all places you can find podcasts, iTunes, Megaphone, TuneIn Radio, and check out our YouTube channel. We've done a lot of great content. Just search on YouTube, Husker Online. We've got some great videos that have generated tens of thousands of views. Check them out as well, as we've got great content there as well.
Thanks again for joining us this week on Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.